Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Get ready. Hart and Cattles are about to go live on your radio, covering Boston sports and beyond.
I know I physically can't even make my mouth formulate the words, I don't want $34 million. I can't physically do that. So he must have something in mind that he wants. That's a head scratcher for me.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward is fully focused and wants to sign a deal with the Pacers. That is his preferred destination.
I just think looking at the Celtics and why maybe they're not going to miss Gordon Hayward right now, I think Gordon Hayward never really came back comfortable from those injuries in terms of needing another big, and that's why if something does go down with Indiana and they get Miles Turner back, well, you talk about the perfect fit for what they need, particularly defensively.
And it all starts right now. Hart and Cattles on EEI.
So it's been a couple of weeks. How are you holding up, Andy?
Do you want the positive take or the negative take?
Oh, let's go positive on a Saturday morning. Come on.
Positive. I've been calling for Miles Turner for damn near 2 years now, and Miles Turner is coming to Boston as long as Danny doesn't screw it up. That's my positive take for the day. I cannot wait for Celtics season, and luckily, in this weird world we live in, I don't have to wait because it's a month away.
That's right. I mean, it is nuts when you think about it. The draft was Wednesday night. I'm doing late night reacting to Aaron Nesmith, a pick that I loved, by the way. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit later. But, you know, we're talking about the draft on Wednesday night. Now, literally a couple of days later, we're talking about free agency. And like you said, in less than a month, just about a month or so, they'll be tipping off. I mean, this is chaos. And I think we should be ready for something to happen over the next couple of days here with Gordon Hayward. Andy, what do you think is going on with Hayward right now?
I think, well, it's clear Hayward wants out, obviously.
Yes.
But he's left the door open to a sign and trade, because I'm sure financially that behooves him. And clearly Danny is doing what Danny does, trying to maximize every deal he ever makes, correct?
Correct.
Like, and sometimes I think at a detriment to the deal. And believe me, if he pulls off some of the stuff we're hearing about, if he pulls up, because I'm intrigued by Oladipo. I know he had a down year, but that's an intriguing addition with Miles Turner to this basketball team. But I just think that it's typical Danny. And I am, you said, what'd you say, the next couple days?
Next day or two.
No.
Yeah.
Don't be so negative. In the next couple hours
How's that
here
negative? That's
on
not
Hart
negative.
And Cattles, because I want to talk about it. I want to talk about my guy, Miles Turner.
We tried not to overreact.
Well, what's better?
Just overreact, Danny, and say yes. When you call and you say you want to do a sign and trade for Hayward and they say yes, how about Miles Turner? Before they even say and, just say yes.
All right, take a deep breath. I think what's happening here is what's happening to a lot of Celtics fans when they wake up this morning. They're thinking about past deals. They're thinking about how Danny reportedly has, you know, stayed strong in some of these negotiations, which, by the way, I think has actually helped him. Nobody brings up that part. Like, Ainge could have dealt all these picks for Jimmy Butler, and you wouldn't have Jaylen Brown, and you wouldn't have other guys on this team right now. So I don't think that Ainge was necessarily wrong. Like, he didn't want to give up, you know, the monster haul for Paul George, and now people are wondering if Paul George isn't who we thought he was after what happened to the Clippers this past season, and he's squawking. So I don't necessarily think that Danny, you know, saying he didn't want to overpay for somebody, I don't necessarily think that was a bad thing, because when you look at those past deals, I don't think you regret many of them, right? So he wasn't going to trade for Anthony Davis because he knew what was going on, which I think is the point where we're at now, right? I think Danny would have given up at least some assets for Anthony Davis. But once it got too far, Danny said to himself, all right, the Lakers, Davis, that's probably going to happen. We can't give up too much. So what does he know in this case? That's what I'm wondering. And if you read Gary Washburn last night, I found one detail to be very telling. And I know, Andy, you're a father of two. And I don't have any kids, but I've just got to figure out, hey, if I'm going to move my family to a different state and I'm going to enroll my kids into school in that state, I feel like that's where I'm going to be. And according to Washburn, Washburn reported last night that during the pandemic, when everybody was in the bubble, Hayward's family went back to Indiana. And not only that, but he enrolled his girls into school in Indiana. So I think Danny knows it's either Boston or Indiana. And I think he has the ultimate leverage in his head. So he's trying to use that leverage all he can to try to get as much as he can from the Pacers.
Yeah, I mean, I think I also read one of the reporters out of Indy, they built a really nice new home recently.
I saw pictures of it. If it's that house, oh boy.
I mean, home base sounds like it is now Indianapolis, Indiana. That's where they want to be. That's what they're going to be. Now, the money on the table, the $34 million, who was that? Was that Tim Legler in our open?
That was Tim Legler.
I don't think he knows how business works. I mean, yes, I understand in like the real world for those of us, and I guess he's now in the real world as a media member, no longer a player. Turning down $34 million is like crazy talk.
You could argue if the media world is the real world too.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But if you turn down $34 million knowing that there's $60 million on the table over multiple years, a different span, but still the lump sum of money that you will add to your bank account is actually larger, that's why that works. There's nothing crazy about it. It's not like he's... Yeah, let it ride. Roll. No. He's going to end up with more money in his bank account than he would have had if he played this contract.
Yeah. And when you look at this, really, you've got to pull yourself out of it all because you get whipped up and all worked up over what you see on Twitter and the play-by-play stuff. And I do, too. I had notifications going to my phone last night as I'm drinking some beers with Kelly, and I'm looking at my phone every 5 seconds to see what the latest notification is telling me. But when you look at the big picture, Andy, this is down to three teams, and it's probably not even down to three teams, okay? It began with this Atlanta Hawks stuff, which I don't think was ever going to happen. But the Hawks have some cap space left. They have, I think, somewhere around $20 million or so. That's not going to happen. It doesn't make sense because I don't think Hayward is going to go to Atlanta for less money than he could probably get from the Celtics if he just re-signed here long-term. So I don't think Atlanta is going to happen. They just signed Gallinari last night to a big deal. So I think Atlanta's out of the mix. Now you look at the C's, the Pacers, and the Knicks. And the Pacers don't have the salary cap space to bring in Hayward straight up.
Right.
So if he's going to Indiana, that's going to be a trade. If he re-signs with Boston, well, hey, obviously Boston doesn't have to do anything but just sit there and wait to sign him to a deal. And if you read stuff coming out of New York like Ian Begley earlier this week, it sounds like the Knicks have been wishy-washy on Hayward. And I found something very telling last night. You had Mark Stein of the New York Times saying that the Knicks were still kind of looking at Hayward, and they finally got off of their initial offer of 2 years. I'm like, wait a minute. So they were only offering Hayward 2 years until last night? How are they even in the conversation?
Right.
And then Stein brought up the idea that the Pacers, this sign-and-trade deal, a telling detail from Stein is that he said last night, Andy, and I don't know if you could help out here as a reporter and all that and working with people. But Stein brought up the idea of not only the sign and trade between Indiana and Boston, but he also brought up that it would be in the 4-year, $100 million range. Now, when you start giving me figures of the possible contract he signs, it just makes me feel like that thing is way down the road.
I mean, if you're talking, I mean, it's always risky when you go numbers because I know they're more real in the NBA, but sometimes numbers get thrown about that are just, you know, carrying water or getting a number out there that then becomes reality. You know, somebody starts chasing it, or if you're trying to leverage somebody. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if that number has been bandied about.
Right.
Just going back to the Knicks for a second, I personally, no knowledge, no sourcing, no reading of anything. I just can't envision him going to the Knicks.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't seem like a fit for him, family wise, city, back pages of the tabloids, process.
I said that
to my son. Like, the Knicks, like, it hasn't worked out, and he wants out of Boston. Like, that's sort of part of been the storyline, the narrative for weeks.
Right.
And he wants to go to the Knicks? That's going to work out?
Maybe the Knicks are going to give him, like, 3 years, $90 million, and they just overpay him. But
is he even looking for that at this point?
That's what I'm wondering, right? To me, it seems like a personality thing,
yeah.
Right? He's looking at this, and he's saying, I just want to go back home. Like, right. I want to go back home to Indiana, and that's where I'm happy. That's where the family is happy. And, you know, I'm done with kind of the city feel. Well, let me just get back to my roots where I'm comfortable at. And
right.
if I get back to where I'm comfortable, then I'm going to be even better on the floor because I'm not worried about all this other stuff. Another thing I wonder about, the names that are involved here behind the scenes, right? So Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge reportedly have a very good relationship with Hayward. Stevens has a great relationship with him.
Yep.
Then you've got Tom Thibodeau in New York. And I just have to wonder if, you know, all three of those guys know precisely what's going to happen here. Thibodeau knows that the Knicks are not going to get Hayward. So Ainge knows, because of his relationship with Tibbs, that is not going to happen. So he's not even worried about the Knicks. So he's not worried about the Knicks. He's not worried about the Hawks. Stevens is telling him, listen, I don't think Gordon's going to go to New York. I know Gordon, like, he's my son. There's no way he goes to the New York Knicks. So now Ainge is sitting there saying to himself, I've got nothing to lose. So when we think about the Miles Turner stuff, and, you know, maybe it's Miles Turner and Doug McDermott is a deal that's been thrown out there. Maybe it's Turner, McDermott, and a first-round pick that has been thrown out there. Then last night from Washburn, Andy, we find out that reportedly Ainge went back to Indiana. Indiana said, hey, Miles Turner, Doug McDermott, done deal. And Ainge said, okay, Miles Turner, but instead of Doug McDermott, I want TJ Warren. And if not TJ Warren, then I want Victor Oladipo.
Yeah. And again, if you're painting it right and he's all in, he's like, whoa, 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 I hold all the leverage here, then I guess that's what you do. I guess that's good business. And certainly I'd be intrigued. But I'm intrigued by McDermott, because you had Nesmith and McDermott. You've added a shooter now. Like, I feel pretty confident I have a shooter. Less confident if you're all in on Nesmith, just because he's the unknown of a rookie, right? Who knows what happens? But now I've kind of double dipped on, I've added a shooter. I've added my rim protector, stretch five guy that I've been lusting after. I'm intrigued. But the Oladipo Warren thing, those are swing for the fences, because those are two guys with, I mean, star upside. Like, what Warren did of late, and I know he's been injured a lot, but so is Hayward. So I'm replacing sort of upside injured guy with upside injured guy. And I know Oladipo was great a couple of years ago, wasn't great this year coming off the injury. But you're swinging for the fences there. If you had Victor Oladipo, you're adding, I mean, okay, you're the green teamer. So let's just say Danny gets his way, and let's use Oladipo as the name with Turner.
I'm not a green teamer, but okay.
You're a green teamer.
No.
What's that on your head?
The Celtics. I could be a fan. Hold on, let's draw the line quickly here. I can be a fan, but I'm not necessarily a green teamer. Don't put me in that corner. Don't put me in that.
Okay.
I spent more than almost a year and a half with another guy at night in Boston trying to frame me as somebody who's a honk and a homer and can't objectively handle this team. Nope. Hey, man, I'm going to take that sound effect and shove it right up your rear end.
To be fair, in that relationship you're discussing, I'm pretty sure it was a honk and a homer versus whatever the hell the opposite of a honk and a homer is, and you blend them together and maybe you get objective radio. But
the extreme contrarian,
yes,
is that what you would say?
Yes. Okay. But let's delve. If you have Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kemba Walker, Miles Turner, and let's say not even the best upside, but good Victor Oladipo.
Yeah.
Is that as good a five as the NBA has?
See, I like Oladipo, but I don't know if I like his fit on the C's.
That's
because
a question.
He's somebody who likes the basketball in his hands. And this is the same stuff when people were talking about James Harden earlier in the week.
Right.
Are you going to take the basketball away from Jason Tatum? Like, I think Tatum is the clear alpha. I think Tatum has a ceiling of being a top 10 guy. And I think that could happen as soon as this year if he continues to progress the way he's progressed. So I don't want to take the ball away from him. I would, if it's Miles Turner, listen, if Danny Ainge trades Gordon Hayward and even a first-round pick, let's say Danny trades Hayward, Shimmy Ogilvy for you know, to make some of the money stuff and also to clear a roster spot. So you go with Hayward, Shimmy, and a first-round pick. If you got Turner and T.J. Warren in this in that trade, that's a home run. Home run. Because I'm not a big believer that all of a sudden T.J. Warren is going to be a guy who averages, you know, 25, 30 points a game. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be that kind of a guy. I liked him coming out of college. I did. I really liked him coming out of college. He can score. He can score outside. He can score inside. He can score mid-range. And I think if you bring Warren onto this team, that's the instant microwavable offense off your bench. And now you've got a bench of, you know, Marcus Smart, Nesmith, Warren, and maybe you go out and get a big via free agency. Let's throw out a name, Andy, like Aaron Baines. Man, that would be a home run. If you could, or you don't get Baines if you bring in Turner likely. So you go out and you get another wing, right? If you get Turner, Warren, and another rotational piece off of your bench, and you draft Nesmith and Pritchard, I think you've addressed pretty much every single need that you had for this team going into the offseason within, I don't know, 3 or 4 days?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sort of a big fan, it seems like a multi-step plan. I'm still questioning some of the things that are in place. Like, I brought they bring Pritchard in, and he's sort of a scrappy guy. Not the defender that Marcus Smart is, but he certainly has a scrap to his game, a junkyard dogginess to his game.
He does. Yeah, he's an irritant.
And I wondered if he was a preparatory, in case we deal Marcus Smart kind of guy.
I don't think
he brings
he is,
a vibe.
Because he's only 6'1". I mean, he's a guy. He's 6'1", 190. He's competitive and scrappy, but he's almost like in the T.J. McConnell ilk. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not going to be able to defend twos and threes and maybe even fours.
No, I didn't mean in a physical sense. I meant more in a team-building sense. Because, you know, you and I have talked a lot about this, that I have this theory that Marcus Smart's leadership has grown to a level beyond, I think, where
so you're
it's
talking
a good
personality.
Thing. Yeah. I'm talking more, this will allow your alphas, which you want to be Tatum and Brown, right? You're building around Tatum and Brown. They're supposed to be your leaders.
Yep.
But if you need that presence, and I know this is putting a lot on the plate of a kid that went late in the first round of a draft and is a rookie, but he is a little more mature. He's obviously, he's older than Jason Tatum. Like, that's one of those weird things where he comes in as a more aged player.
Makes you feel so much better about Tatum when you
oh,
see
God,
something
yeah.
like that.
When you see something like that, yeah, you're like, damn.
Yeah.
But, and so I do think there's a lot, typical Danny, I think Danny has, like, we mock him for, or I shouldn't say we, a lot of callers like to mock him because we get these rumblings, right? He was in on this guy. He was in on this guy. He called about this guy. He was looking. Shouldn't he? Isn't that, like, kind of how you
that's
do the job?
Gig.
Like,
yeah, that's his gig.
If you're going to, okay, you need to, I don't know, get something fixed in your house, don't you get, like, 4 or 5 estimates?
Yep.
You look to see what's available out there. Oh, you know, that company, they throw in a lifetime warranty. Oh, that company's a little cheap. You do your homework. That's called being smart. It's not anything other than that, in my opinion. So I think that Danny still may have more balls in the air than we even think. And it seems like he has a lot of balls in the air just with this, this Hayward thing. But I think he probably has a lot of balls in terms of roster building in the air.
I mean, when you look at this, right, when you look at what's going on, I think a lot of things can happen over the next couple of days. And, you know, I tweeted that yesterday. Like, we've taken the bait. I've taken the bait so many times with Danny. But I really do feel this time around the pieces are there to make something work. And you've got this Gordon Hayward thing, which I think has to get done within the next 36 to 48 hours. I would not be surprised if it happens today.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it happens in the next 3 hours or so.
Yeah.
So I would not be surprised if something happens with Hayward, whether it's he re-signs, which I think would kind of shock the world at this point, or he gets moved to Indiana. But you've got some other things. You've got some other things because what you can do is, and not a lot of people are talking about this. I had a back and forth with Keith Smith yesterday on Twitter, the NBA reporter. And, you know, I asked a question because I read something earlier in the day from John Hollinger. And in a story that he wrote for The Athletic, he made it sound like the Celtics could actually not only do a sign and trade with Hayward to Indiana, but they could also use the full mid-level exception and the biannual exception. Now, I'm not going to get too deep into the weeds, but a full mid-level exception would be about $9 million. The other mid-level is about $6 million. So I asked Keith Smith, with the move they made with Enes Kanter yesterday by trading him to Portland and by trading Vincent Poirier as well to the Thunder, those two moves opened up a little bit of wiggle room for Ainge. So it is possible. It's absolutely possible, Andy. It's cap gymnastics, and Mike Zarin's going to have to do a great job with that. But it is possible that the Celtics trade Hayward, get back Turner. Let's say it's Turner, McDermott, and a first-round pick or something.
Yep.
That deal happens. They can make that deal, and they could still have the full mid-level exception, which is $9 million. And if you look at some of these guys that are signing, you know, you don't have a lot of huge names right now on the market. So the Celtics might have an opportunity to go out there and grab somebody or two people with that full mid-level. And now you're talking about bringing that other piece that I was talking about where you have eight or nine guys that you go deep and you feel really good about. So I do think there are some moves that Ainge could pull off within the next day or two above and beyond the Hayward trade that would really help build the depth of this basketball team.
And I think, now I know y'all have a concern because you think Hayward is sort of was a great fit. He was your four. He was kind of really instrumental on the ball going through him on the second unit at times and all the different things, the way he played.
Right.
I don't think you can argue that in a scenario similar to that, or even if you just add Nesmith, Miles Turner, McDermott, you're already getting deeper. You're already becoming deeper. And I would argue in the Turner edition and the way he plays and the Nesmith-McDermott edition, even if you look at them as one, let's just say only one of them really pans out, you've altered your makeup in a way that you're a much more difficult basketball team to defend.
I think you have a number of pieces that you could put together in different ways to make it tough for a team to defend you. I still don't want to put too much on Nesmith just yet because, again, he's a rookie, and I think we've all got to kind of temper expectations. I think it was a really good pick, but I think he's a younger guy. We'll see what he actually does, especially with such a quick turnaround here, and he had a foot issue last year. He only played 13, 14 games. So, you know, I'm going to pump the brakes on the early season Nesmith.
You should emphasize that because I think in a weird way, he's under a ridiculous amount of pressure because he's sort of anointed. Now McDermott, we'll see. But he's anointed the shooter they needed.
Yeah.
And it's such a specific skill that reactionary folk like myself will be able to immediately criticize him, right? It's in the box score. I don't even have to watch the game. I can read the box score from the first three games. And if it says like 2 of 17 shooting, 2 of 18 behind the arc.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this guy? I thought he was a sharpshooter. I thought he shot 50-something% behind the arc. I thought he was the perfect fit, right? It's black and white. It's immediate. There's no nuance to that part of it. It's just get him the ball. He shoots it. Did it go through?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect him to be making 50% of his threes like he did last year. You know, but if he gives you 37-38% from three-point line, then that's a great thing. I mean, if he's shooting 37-38% off the bench from three, then that's an option. I mean, you're comparing him to Shimi Ogele. That's really what you're doing. And so we know that Shimi is not this incredible offensive player. So if you get the offense, and people say that, you know, Nesmith also kind of projects defensively pretty well in the league because of his length, you know, you don't need him to be a stud. All I'm saying is, let's not expect him to be out there, you know, as the human flamethrower right off the bat.
I also think you said you're comparing him to Ogele. You know who I think the Celtics fans will also be comparing him to? And this is not fair, but it is what it is. Duncan Robinson. Like, they have a series. They have a role in their mind of why, in part, they lost a series. And that's why I think there's, while Danny targeted a need, I also think there's a little of the classic sports copycat to this pick.
Yeah.
Because this is sort of an anti-Danny pick to just go get the shooter, and they got the shooter. And I think people are going to say, oh, nice, we got our Duncan Robinson. So he's going to help us get over whatever perceived hump you're in, and that's probably also not fair to him right out of the gates.
He's Hard on Cattle, 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line is 37937. You can follow Andy on Twitter at Jumbo Hart. I am at Nick C Radio. We'll continue with the conversation about Gordon Hayward. Is he headed to Indiana? Also, you know, somebody text in, a listener text in something that's been driving me nuts.
Wait, a texter drove you nuts?
Over the past couple of days. Over the past couple of days, there have been tweets that I've seen from a lot of people, including the sports media in this city of Boston, bringing up something about Boston and the Celtics, and it's been driving me crazy. I'll get to that coming up next. It's Hart and Cattle Sports Radio, WEEI. Honk and a homer and can't objectively handle this team. Hey, man, I'm going to take that sound effect and shove it right up your rear end.
You're listening to Hart and Cattle on EEI.
Here's the thing that's been driving me crazy the last couple of days, Andy, on Twitter.
Me?
No. I have a friend in the business, and he works at 98.5, and I saw him tweet something similar to what a texter texted in during our first segment when we were talking about Gordon Hayward and what might happen with him. From the 813, sounds like another athlete that just wants out of Boston. A very common theme now. And, you know, my buddy from the competition tweeted out something regarding, oh, if Hayward just walks and wants out, you know, I hate to say it, but you got to put this on Brad Stevens. You got to look at Stevens. And he mentioned Kyrie Irving and Al Horford and Gordon Hayward. Listen, people got to relax with that, okay? The narrative that, oh, Kyrie left and Horford left and Hayward left and Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens, they can't keep good players when they bring them in. Boston is incapable of keeping, you know, stars or all-star. Give me a freaking break. Circumstances matter. I think that's a crock. I think that's an absolute crock, Andy. What do you think when people are trying to throw that narrative out there that, oh, well, Stevens and Ainge, they just can't keep stars in Boston?
I think it's lazy. I think it's absolutely lazy. And to me, immediately I thought of Sesame Street. Two of these things go to one of these just doesn't. But, like, if you don't think there's a possibility that a guy who came here as the greatest signing in the history of the franchise and then immediately, quite literally immediately, had a career-altering injury and then has been banged up and then has seen sort of the team evolve without him by no fault of his own, would want a quote-unquote classic sports chain of scenery or start over, then I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm not saying that has anything to do with Boston. I'm saying that has to do with the details of his life. I think that could have happened in Miami, L.A., Indiana, Utah, any city in the NBA. It's just...
Here's the thing that drives me crazy, okay? Like, Kyrie is Kyrie. If you try to blame anybody for Kyrie deciding to leave, to me, it's a lost cause. Irving wanted to leave LeBron James. He had a built-in perfect chance to win a championship, and he was like, nah, I'm done with being second fiddle to LeBron. Send me away. He gets sent to a team that could not be built any better for him to thrive with two young stars, a young coach, all that good stuff. He says he's going to stay, and then he decides a few months later to leave to go play with his BFF. Like, that's not on Stevens. That's not on Ainge. And when you look at Horford, let's remember the details. He signs a $109 million deal with Philly, which I don't think the Celtics would have gone to. But let's remember, at the time Horford committed to Philadelphia, he didn't know what was going on with Boston. Nobody did. They didn't know that they were going to be able to get Kemba Walker. And if you remember, reports were that the Celtics tried to circle back to Horford once they knew they could get Kemba, and Horford had already given his word to Philadelphia, and he was not willing to back off of that word.
Thank God.
So that was the Horford situation. And for Hayward, I've said this. You know, we talked about it during the season. You busted my balls about me being a Hayward guy, and I am a Hayward guy. I think he's a really good basketball player. But what have I said? I've said this all along. People are upset with Hayward because he's getting paid the amount of money he's getting paid, and he's not the number one guy or number two guy. And as I said, that's not on Hayward. The way things evolved here, he was supposed to be the number one. You have the basketball in your hands at all times. Isaiah Thomas was on this team at the time. It was Thomas, and it was Hayward. Then, like a month later, they trade for Irving, which completely changes Hayward's role. So now he's the two guy off the ball as Kyrie's doing the dribbling show. Then he gets hurt, and then you have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum both exponentially improve beyond what we could ever imagine as soon as they did, right? So now he's the third option, fourth option, depending on the night. So I think Hayward not only wants to go back home to Indiana, but I do think Hayward wants to shut everybody up. I think Hayward wants to show people, no, I could be a number one option on a team, or maybe at worst, a number two guy. I want to go back to who I was in Utah, start and have the ball in my hands and be the guy. And he sees Tatum and he says, Tatum's the dude. Like, Tatum's going to be the dude, the alpha on this team. So I want to go out there, and before I retire from the NBA, I want to prove to people that I can still ball at that level. So you've got to look at the circumstances. You've got to understand the context. And I just hate the idea of, oh, well, obviously the Celtics, they just, you know, no good players want to stay with them. That's ridiculous. They decided to sign with them in the first place, didn't they? I mean, Kemba decided to come. Kyrie okayed the deal. And you look at Horford, he decided to pass up Atlanta and join the Celtics. So, you know, they're going out and getting guys that they target. So I don't get that. Again, we overuse the word, but I'll use it again. The narrative that people are throwing out there, I can't stand it.
Well, it's lazy. And, you know, we talked to Chris Mannix on Thursday on Dale and Keefe, and I actually asked him a question sort of in line with that idea. Is Hayward wanting to leave financial, restart, reset his career, or right. I want a bigger role? I don't want to be a four. I don't want to be a complete. And he said, probably a little bit of all three.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Gordon Hayward gets to upgrade in three different areas in his mind, correct? He gets to upgrade his contract.
Yep.
I'm not on a one-year uncertain future deal. I'm going to be on a maybe four-year, $100 million deal. He gets to go to a place where he's probably going to get the ball more, be more of a one, two, three top option, maybe get back to all-star caliber. And he just happens to shake free, just go and try something new because it just really hasn't worked here. Why would he not want? Oh, and one more thing. It looks like Indiana's the place. Right. Oh, he has a home there. Oh, he played college basketball. Like, it's almost perfect. He's not leaving Boston. He's going to a better opportunity. Like, can yes. we look at it that way? He's not trying right. to get out. And I don't know what narrative this person was trying to push. But I do think it's beneficial to the city of Boston, at the very least, that Gordon Hayward is white. Because everybody wants to make this a racial thing and, oh, maybe the black player who, you know, is a superstar doesn't want to stay in Boston. So I'm actually thankful that Gordon Hayward is white and we can't bring race into this issue of the superstar player wanting to leave. The only thing I buy into a little bit with the Boston star players whatever thing is what you brought up. In the course of a short period of time, Danny Ainge had Isaiah Thomas, Kyrie Irving, and then if we're believing rumors, Kemba Walker, that he soured on, was ready or not to move on from. Like, that's a mildly concerning trend to me.
Well, I don't think that's the case, though. I mean, listen, when they traded, no one looking back at that deal with Isaiah, that was the right deal to make. And it wasn't
No, it was, but there's three of them in a row, so it's Rick Pitino-like. It's like you're always looking for the next one instead of being happy with the one you got.
Yeah, but Danny would have stuck with Kyrie if Kyrie stuck with Boston.
And that actually concerned me at the time.
You know, because Danny's a talent guy. I think Danny would have been like, no, whatever. I mean, Kyrie's going to re-sign here. We'll make it work. So, you know, that was out of necessity. Thomas to Kyrie was an upgrade. And you look at Thomas's injury, man, they pretty much dodged a bullet. Remember mm-hmm. Isaiah walking around back up the Brinks truck and all that
yep.
stuff? And, I mean, they dodged that bullet. So I'm not too worried about those decisions that he made. Let's go to Owen in Westford. He wants to talk about Ainge. What's up, Owen?
Hi, how you doing?
What's up?
Doing well.
I know it's tough nowadays with the money that these overpaid wannabes make and everything else and all the deals you got to make, sign and trade, but I think it's time to move on from Danny Ainge. He doesn't want to pull the trigger. He's going to lose all this great young talent. They're not going to – I'm just afraid that he's – it's time to get somebody.
Wait,
to
what? Whoa, excuse me, Owen. What great young talent is he losing?
Well, I mean, Tatum and Brown and them are not going to want to stay.
Brown is already re-signed, and Tatum's on the verge.
Well, they're not getting good supporting cast. They're not going to win a title with them.
Okay, they're going to get Miles Turner. Thanks for the call, Owen. Appreciate it,
Owen. I mean,
He had zero right in that call. I'm sorry, Owen. I appreciate you listening, and I think you will listen. Maybe you'll get a little more in tune, but what great young talent is leaving? Nope. We have to give them credit for they've developed great young talent that wants to stay here.
Yeah. Like, I mean, listen.
And he hasn't, by the way, refused to pull the trigger. I know we've talked about that. Can we let this play out before we say Danny refused to pull the trigger?
Like, this is 2020, man. Everything is baked in. No. And I want to talk about this with Cam a little bit later on in the show as well. Because people just have these, you know, preconceived notions and they get buried into their heads and that's it. So as soon as they see, oh, well, Ainge might be asking for Miles Turner and Victor Oladipo or TJ Warren, and, you know, he's just being a pain in the ass. This is typical Danny. He's got to win the trade by a billion. This is called the negotiation, folks. And until we see Gordon Hayward go somewhere else, let Danny negotiate. If Danny feels like it's Boston or Indiana for Hayward, and he knows that, for some reason he knows that, then there is absolutely nothing wrong with Ainge trying to pork the Indiana Pacers. As a matter of fact, you go back to the Paul George trade that Danny thought he had, and remember the story? The story was that Kevin Pritchard tried to pork Ainge, and at some point Ainge said, I'm not giving you, like, you know, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, like three picks for Paul George, and he walked away. So, you know, maybe Danny's now trying to kind of reverse that on Pritchard and saying, all right, now you have to play ball with me. And now I'm going to try. There's nothing wrong with trying to ask for something ridiculous. Nothing. It happens all the time in a negotiation. Andy, you sign contracts in this business.
Wait till you see my next ask. Doing Saturdays with you, the price just went up.
I mean, come on. That's just not fair. do you walk in and ask for middle ground territory? Do you ask for the same money you made last time? No. So what this is Ainge asking for the moon. Now, if Hayward goes to the Knicks and it comes out that the Indiana trade didn't happen because Ainge was too stubborn and wouldn't move from the asking price,
yep,
then it's fair game.
Then Owen calls back, and yep, I will agree with Owen, and I will lead the FireDannyAinge.com website that
we will
put up.
I would not say Fire Danny Ainge, but I will.
I'll be angry if Miles Turner doesn't get here.
I would say it's a, you know, that would be a move that deserved all the criticism in the world. But if Danny ends up making this deal, and it's Turner, McDermott, and a first-round pick for Hayward, no one's going to bitch. People will be fine with it, and people should be fine with it. Now, if Danny pulls Turner and TJ Warren out of his butt, then we should throw a parade for Danny Ainge, because that would be a ridiculous trade that he pulled off. Nothing wrong about asking for more if you think you might have a shot at getting it.
Real quick before we go to break, I wanted to emphasize a point I made earlier about the expectations, the side discussion we were having about Neesmith, yes, and his shooting.
Yes.
While we were talking 10 minutes ago, so in the middle of this segment, I got one of those alerts on my phone from The Athletic. Shades of Duncan Robinson, ? Is the headline.
Look at you.
Why the Celtics are so high on top draft pick Aaron Neesmith.
Look
so
at you.
He's going to face probably unfair expectations, certainly daunting expectations right out the gates.
I think he's going to help. I don't think people should be. I know Stackhouse this week said Ray Allen and those kinds of comparisons. Yeah, let's take a little bit of a breath here and let
no,
the
we're
young
Boston.
Man,
we don't breathe.
Let the young man come on in and hit a couple of shots first. 617-779-7937 the telephone number. The text line is 37937. By the way, again, somebody texts in with something that I have to disagree with. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. Hart and Cattle, Sports Radio WEEI on a Saturday morning.
More sports talk nonstop. This is Hart and Cattle's on EEI.
They're not the Lakers. But it can do that. They're not the Lakers. But it can do that.
A little bit of a remix from our guy Eamon.
I noticed that.
They're not the Lakers. But it can do that.
Yeah.
They're not the Lakers. But it can do that.
Wicca, 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 wicca.
I just love when the equipment works exactly the way it's supposed to.
Oh, man, a good carpenter never blames his tool.
This isn't just a tool that you can pick up.
No, I know where the tool is. It's standing there behind a microphone talking.
Let's switch places, Andy.
Oh, boy.
I can pretend I know how to use all those buttons like you do.
Yeah. pretend.
Come on, there's only like three that matter, right? I know there's a huge board there, but how many do you actually use?
Pretty much all of them.
You don't know what half of them do.
I know what every single thing on this board does. Thank you, though.
I would hope you do.
Yeah, glad you have faith in me.
A quick update here before we get back to the Celtics, just because you asked about this earlier, Andy, trying to figure out what in the world happened with Clemson, Florida State.
Yes.
Because they just decided, you know, a couple of hours before kickoff that they weren't going to play this game. Pete Thamel now has information. He's got the intel. So a Clemson backup offensive lineman tested positive, a test that was taken on Friday. They received the results after Clemson landed in Tallahassee. The player had traveled with the team. Florida State officials were not comfortable playing because of the potential spread.
Okay. I mean, I guess.
So that's the intel.
They were also not comfortable playing because of the potential to get their asses whooped.
That's not, that could
that
also
might be just
be
the cynic in me.
That could also be a part of it. All right, let's. I guess we got away from the remix style. Eamon's now ready with the original style of Jeff Goodman this week on Sports Radio WEEI.
They're not the Lakers. They're not even Miami in a sense that, you know, guys want to play down in Miami because of the weather, because of the taxes, all those things. The elite players don't want to play in Boston. They just don't. They're going to team up and they're going to go to L.A. like Kawhi did. They're going to go to the Lakers like LeBron did, or Miami like LeBron did years ago. They're not coming to Boston. So you've got to build this thing differently and get a little bit of luck. I mean, Golden State did it with Steph and Clay and Draymond. They hit it right. I mean, not everybody can do that.
So there was Goodman. That was from Mud at Night on Thursday. Andy, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, his last, correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin Durant went where? Golden State.
Yeah.
So, like, how did they do it differently? They signed an elite free agent named Kevin Durant.
I think he's talking about before.
No, KD, I know, but his whole point is players don't want to go to certain places.
Right.
I think it's just lazy. I get back to that word we used last segment. It's Now, I agree with him 100%. The weather is not as nice in Boston as it is in Miami and L.A. That's a fact.
No,
that's just a reality.
You don't say.
And if that is a priority for a player, then yes, you can't. There's nothing you can do about that, right?
Right.
There's absolutely nothing you can do. Only Bill Belichick controls the weather in New England, not Danny Ainge or Brad Stevens, right? He can dial it up a little rain and wind when he needs to win a game on Sunday night. Otherwise, you take the good, you take the bad. But the money.
Facts of life.
Yes, it is. The money, first of all, right? I think speaks volumes generally. Now,
right.
That's also equal a lot of the times when you're talking about
it
these
is.
Deals.
It is.
I'd also say either you think Brad Stevens is a good coach or you don't. Like that reputation. To me, there's value. Now, again, Spoelstra may have a similar draw. He's in that same, wherever you want to put it, top five coaches in the NBA draw. I would also say consistent winning is on the Celtics side of late. They go to the playoffs. They go to the Eastern Conference Finals. You're in the mix in the East. And I know the landscape is ever changing when, you know, the East is the easy conference. And then, oh, wait a minute. Harden is going to join Durant and Kyrie in Brooklyn. Oh, maybe the East isn't so easy. And whatever they're doing in Milwaukee to keep Giannis. But I just, quite frankly, don't buy it. Other than the weather, which it is what it is, I don't buy that idea that no one wants to come here.
Well, here's the problem. I don't really understand this theory because when you look back, Kevin Garnett had to say yes to the deal to Boston. He said yes. Then you look at what's happened the past few years. You went out, you signed Al Horford. Al Horford was, what, a top three or four free agent that season?
Mm-hmm.
You went out, you landed Horford. You got a meeting with Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
Durant only met with, what, four or five teams? You got a meeting with Kevin Durant. He sat with you for hours. And I'm going to tell you right now, a guy like KD doesn't take a meeting just to take a meeting. Don't buy that nonsense. He's not going to waste his time. He's a top three player in the league. He's not going to waste a single second. He's not doing favors for anybody, okay?
I don't know. Tom Brady was going to be there.
I'm sure he could never meet Tom Brady on his own, right? So, I mean, you've got Horford who signed. KD took a meeting. Kyrie was okay being dealt to Boston. And then obviously you go out, you sign Gordon Hayward. That offseason, he was, I think, if not the top free agent, I'm trying to remember the class, but he was top two or three in that class,
right?
And he picked Boston. And then you look at what happened with Kemba last season. Kemba picked Boston. So what are we doing here? Every time the Celtics have had cap space, when they've had the opportunity to sign an all-star player, a guy who's the top three of that class, pretty much every time the Seas have had the money to do it and gone out after somebody, they've landed a fish. So I don't understand this theory that nobody wants to come to Boston. All right, does LeBron want to come to Boston? No. Okay, we got that. KD? Okay, well, KD obviously had a meeting. Kawhi Leonard? No, he didn't want to come to Boston because he's from San Diego. He wanted to go back to the West Coast. So that's another part of this. There's not many ballers that come out of New England who are top-notch guys. LeBron went back to Cleveland because he was from Akron. That Hayward reportedly wants to go back to Indiana because that's where he's from. That's how these things work out. And I just, people talk about the Celtics like they have swung and missed 2 dozen times in free agency. And for the life of me, I do not understand it.
Well, the elite players don't want to play in Boston. They just don't.
And maybe 30 years ago, when all you could get was the skeleton of Dominique Wilkins and skeleton of Xavier McDaniel, maybe this was true, right?
Yeah.
But what you just described is what they call the facts getting in the way of a good story, right?
Yeah.
No one wants to. And I don't necessarily want to just say Jeff Goodman's an idiot and he's making this up. He may have some players that are like, yeah, I don't want to go to Boston. But just because some player or some agent tells you something doesn't mean it's the be-all, end-all truth. And you just articulated examples of recent history, not 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, recent history where you really haven't had a struggle to get right. Elite talent to come to Boston.
Yeah, and the 617 on the text line, Kevin Garnett only said yes after they acquired Ray Allen. I'm well aware of the details. I appreciate the text, but he still said yes.
Right.
It doesn't matter. He still said yes. And so that's right. Listen, I'm just going to go out on a limb, okay? If Bradley Beal was a free agent tomorrow, I absolutely believe Bradley Beal is talking to the Celtics. Tatum's his best friend. He would look at it and say, well, they've got Jaylen Brown and they've got Tatum, two guys who are young studs. You would get a meeting. You would get a conversation with that guy. So I just think people, you know, there's been reports out there, whether you want to believe them or not, that Giannis Antetokounmpo has, you know, done a little bit of homework and talked to Jason Tatum about maybe, just maybe, if things fell a certain way. I just, this idea that the Celtics are, you know, Oklahoma City or there's some other team that never gets any meetings like that or gets a big free agent, it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. Let's go to Xavier in Boston. What's up, Xavier?
McDaniels?
Oh, hey, X-Man. What's up, guys? I'm just wondering, if we're talking Hayward for Turner and Warren, why would Indiana ever do that? He's been hurt. I just feel like he's not worth it. And why we couldn't throw in maybe Tice or Smart to make it a little more enticing.
Wait, no. I like it. No, why? Why do we want to make it more enticing for Indiana?
Why would they take that deal?
Well, but it's not for you to decide why they would. If they are interested in Gordon Hayward, if they're all in on Gordon Hayward, that's on them. We can have our feelings. Like, Nick, I think, would be all in on Gordon Hayward. He is a Hayward believer. You and I, Xavier, might be Hayward haters, and we might not be all in. But just because another team's interested in a guy doesn't mean...
I just don't think they're going to give those two guys up for just Hayward. You gotta give them something.
Right, and they may not. Like, Xavier, we've fallen in love with the extra pieces and the Washburn tweet. Like, so that may or may not be true.
You're talking about T.J. Warren and Miles Turner for Hayward.
That's what you guys were saying earlier, right?
Yeah. Okay, so I agree with you. I don't think Indiana will deal Turner and Warren for Hayward. I don't think that'll happen. Xavier, I would not throw Marcus Smart into the deal to get TJ Warren because I think you're biting your nose to spite your face. You're going to lose as much, if not more, by dealing Smart than you're getting back with Warren. I don't think that would work out.
At the end of the day, though, I mean, you're gonna get defense out of Warren at least.
You're going to get defense healthy. What?
You'll get defense out of Warren just like you do out of Smart. But Smart
No, you won't.
Not
Xavier,
Smart
thank
line.
You for
no
the phone call.
No chance. And you also have to question his health.
I mean, Marcus Smart is he's a first-team all-defender. I mean, it's not even close. It's not T.J. Warren is not a defender like Marcus Smart is. So I think you would lose on that deal. And I think, listen, Miles Turner's a nice player. I think some people think Miles Turner is the next greatest center in the game, the way they talk about him. He's a good player. He's a good player.
Over the top.
I mean, I think if you look at player one versus one, Hayward is better than Turner. So I think that's why Danny's trying to get more from Indiana. Listen, I think when all is said and done, we're talking Turner, McDermott, and probably a pick. That's what, if I'm a Celtics fan, and I am, that's what I'm expecting. If this deal happens, I think you get Turner, I think you get McDermott, and I think you get a first-round pick. Maybe you get Holiday instead of McDermott, you know, Drew's brother out there in Indiana. Maybe you get him instead. I think that's what we're talking about. I don't think you'll see Turner and Warren. I don't think you'll see Turner and Oladipo. And I don't even think the money works with Oladipo and Turner, by the way.
And can we not let that ruin the trade? It's almost like now that those names have been attached to this deal,
right,
people are going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Can we not? How about we focus on this? The second you heard that Gordon Hayward opted out of his contract, the possibility existed that he could leave and you'd get nothing, correct? He could just sign elsewhere, a free agent. So let's focus on that piece of information and now say, whoa, no, he's not just leaving. We're getting Miles Turner and whatever else you throw into that salad. Let's focus on that and feel good about the return.
I agree with you. And I think people are going to get a little lost in this thing, right? But yes, you are correct. 100%, Andy. And we've talked about this the last couple of weeks. If Hayward walks and the C's get nothing, that's devastating. That's a disaster.
And I don't even like Hayward, and that's a disaster.
That's a disaster. By the way, on the text line, before I get to another call here, 617 answering us back about Garnett. The point is Garnett did not want to come here for a reason. What is that reason? Because before Ray Allen was traded for it, the Celtics weren't good enough.
Right. Garnett could scuffle in Minnesota. He was looking to leave for championship aspirations. Right.
And so Garnett not coming to Boston before the Allen deal didn't have to do with Boston. It had to do with the compete level that Boston was at. And when they got Allen, Garnett said, oh, wait a minute. Now I'm open to Boston. So it wasn't the city. It was the roster. Let's go to Tarek in Boston. What's up, Tarek?
There's a lot going on this morning. There's so much going on.
Indeed.
Listen, first, we got to talk about Brad. Brad is a great coach. If you are a B-minus, B-level player, he's going to elevate you into the A stratosphere. If you are an A-plus player, he is going to ask that you diminish yourself to fit into the team, which brings you down to a B-plus, B player. And for a guy like Kyrie Irving that didn't want to sit on the bench and watch Westbrook and Curry and James Harden come into their house and light it up for 40 points, play 44 minutes while he played 28, sat on the bench, got pulled early because, you know, Brad has a system. So if you're a superstar, you're not going to like Brad. If you want the game to be down to you and you want to be the GOAT and on my back and I'm going to carry the team, probably not going to like Brad Stevens very much. But if you're a guy with potential that hasn't been realized, he's definitely where you want to go.
Where does Jason Tatum fall in on that?
Jason Tatum's a draft pick. It doesn't count. I'm talking about adopted kids, not kids born in the marriage.
So, I like that term, adopted kids.
Well, I'm saying that's what happened. You want to know what happened with Kyrie, with Al, and with now with Gordon Hayward? The parents that adopted those three kids had two kids of their own, and now they're mad. That's it.
I like
just
it.
Like you hear in real life. You know, and Hayward bailed because he thought it was all going back to rebuild. You know, Gordon's bailing because the rebuild was successful and they actually got pieces. You know, everybody's got a reason. So, you know, it's not Brad's fault, so to speak, but Brad is going to ask you to play defense, James Harden. He's going to ask you, you want to know why we didn't sign Boogie Cousins? So who tells Boogie Cousins to get off the court because he's not running hustling without it being a problem? That's why I didn't sign him, because Brad's system is about the only reason you get minutes is if you play defense. I don't care what you're scoring. You got to play defense on a string. The minute you break the string, you're on the bench. I don't care if you're Kyrie. I don't care if you're Al Horford. I don't care if you're, you know, Gordon Hayward or anybody that would want to come here. And now that is getting out there. People are starting to know, hey, man, you can't just go. Just like, you know who else has the same problem? Popovich. What, name the free agents that go running to play with Pop. Because it's the same deal. You know, guys laughed at, you know, took 10 years for Pop to give me a compliment. Because they're harder on them than Brad is.
We got to jump in, but I appreciate the phone call. Great job. Great job, Tarek. One of the better callers that we get.
I love the adoption thing, too.
Yeah, he's called multiple times. I think he's fantastic.
If he's right, by the way, that's a terrible commentary on the modern NBA basketball player and the game itself.
Mm. Well, you know, I think it depends on the player. And, you know, some guys just don't love defense. And, you know, even LeBron took like a four-year stretch off of playing defense. He played defense this last season because he finally got Anthony Davis and he was a little bit more into the idea of winning a championship and playing on both ends this year than he was the year prior. And if you look back, and I don't think it's LeBron's, you know, deference to playing defense. I actually think the reason why he took a 4 or 5 year period off of defense is because he had to do so much offensively. This year, he got back to being able to play a little bit on the other end of the floor. Sometimes guys want to conserve energy. Sometimes guys are just lazy. Sometimes guys just aren't good defenders. There's a lot of different reasons. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Hart and Cattle, Sports Radio WEEI on a Saturday.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.